Genesis chapter 31. We are in the middle of studying the life of Jacob. We're in chapter 31, the last half of it this morning, starting in verse 22. And just by way of review, Jacob is, he is the seed of Abraham. He is the, he's been given the promises of the Lord that God will bless him and protect him, and that he will make it to the promised land. That God has said, I will be with you to bring you home. He's promised it. But Jacob has spent some time in a foreign land. He spent some time at his uncle Laban's house in a foreign country, Padan Aram. And Laban is a nasty dude. He has not been kind. He's tricked them and deceived them. And we'll see Jacob rips into him actually in this passage and preaches at him at all the bad things that he's done back on Laban's crummy farm. And the Lord calls Jacob out of that. And he says, it's time to go home. And so Jacob takes off. That's where he's going. And when we come to this passage, Jacob has been traveling for a number of days, and Laban hears that Jacob's gone, and he is not happy. And so he's going to chase after Jacob. And that's what this text is about as we read it. Genesis chapter 31, we're going to start at verse 22. We're going to read the whole rest of the chapter. So it's a pretty long passage, but it's really good. Genesis chapter 31, verse 22. When it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days and followed close after him into the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream by night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you've tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with mirth and songs, with tambourine and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Now you have done foolishly. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And now you've gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone with whom you find your God shall not live. In the presence of our kinsmen, point out what I have that is yours and take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two female servants, but he did not find them. And he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. Laban felt all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me. So he searched, but did not find the household gods. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, what is my offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods. What have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. What was torn by wild beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it myself. From my hand you required it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I've been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your flock, and you've changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been on my side, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, the daughters are my daughters. The children are my children. The flocks are my flocks. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day for these my daughters or for their children whom they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jegersahudatha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me today. Therefore he named it Galeed and Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between you and me. When we are out of one another's sight, if you oppress my daughters or if you take wives beside my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, see this heap and the pillar which I have set between you and me? This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap and this pillar to me to do harm. The God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac, and Jacob offered a sacrifice in the hill country and called his kinsmen to eat bread. They ate bread and spent the night in the hill country. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned home. Good riddance. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do confess that you've called us and that the journey home it's not easy. And that we're chased by things outside of us and inside of us to prevent us from seeing you in our Father's house. So as we look at this passage today and as we see your word and taste your bread, I pray that you would protect us and make our way home today clear in our own eyes. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple years ago, Forbes magazine had an article. They wrote this when all of the cyber threats were popping up and we were getting, it was just in the news a lot of cyber threats from foreign countries. And the article was, just how big is the cyber threat to the Department of Defense, United States Department of Defense? And the article went on and it had all these quotes from different cyber threat professionals, both in the government and not in the government. And one of the numbers I saw was that the DOD, the Department of Defense, experiences some form of cyber threat 250,000 times an hour. And I thought, man, those guys are busy up there. They are just, I don't know what they're doing, whatever cyber threat professional protectors do. But they are just up there punching numbers in and protecting us. And I have no idea. Like, I'm just walking throughout my day, and there's 250,000 times an hour these attacks going on all around us. And I bring that up just because there's so much in this passage. But one of the main things in this passage is that we are so unaware of the Lord's protection of us. 250,000 attacks an hour, I have no idea. But the scriptures do not pretend to hide the fact that there is a foe. That does not shy away from the fact that there is an enemy. that seeks to destroy God's people. And in this passage, Laban goes after Jacob, and the Lord protects him. So I want to look at that for just a few minutes this morning. Two questions. Why did Jacob need protection? That's the first one. And then secondly, how did the Lord protect Jacob? So those two things. The first one, why did Jacob need protection? Look right in the middle of the passage in verse 29. Laban comes and says, "It is in my power to do you harm. I'm coming to harm you." Laban just lays it out there. I came here, and as the passage begins, it says he took his kinsmen with him. So he's got an army of men. Jacob's got his wife and his children and flocks that he's leaving with. And here comes Laban with armed men and whatever animals they're riding on that are probably not just little sheep. They come and they're, "We're going to attack you." And then when Laban gets there, he makes a series of accusations. If you just look real quickly, verse 25, Laban overtook Jacob, so he shows up, and Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you've tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword?" So he's got like a wartime mentality going on. He's got his people with him. "I'm coming, and you took my daughters away with the sword." So Laban came to fight. And he makes these accusations to justify the fight. And Jacob answered. So the two accusations, is what does he say? He says, "You deceived me, and you stole my God." And Jacob's answer is, "I deceived you because I was afraid of you, and I didn't take your gods. So search my tent." And Laban does. He goes off and he searches. Because if he can find some evidence to justify his accusation, then he can do Jacob some harm. And so he searches everyone. It's verse 33 reminds me of those little films where like one person runs out of one room and goes in another, and then they come out of like another door and run this way, and then like, how'd they get over there? And they came out of over here. They're just all over the place. That's the way Laban looks here. Went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, into the tent of the two female servants, and then he went into Leah's tent again, and then he went into Rachel's. He's all over the place. He's searching. And the word that Jacob uses when he confronts Laban is, he says, "You have felt through all my stuff." And the word "felt" is a word that refers to just inappropriately touching somebody. You've just gone through all my stuff. And the campground looks like a middle school dorm room, summer camp, Cheetos everywhere, and you know, crunched on the floors, Axe cans and spray everywhere. You know, it's just a mess. Laban just ruins it. And that's when Jacob says, "Okay, I've had enough." And starting in verse 36, Jacob became angry. And he starts to recount all the things Laban has done to him. Look at verse 40. He says, "There I was. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes." These were horrible conditions. OSHA would fire you. This is disgusting. I'm by heat, by cold, I'm not sleeping. Verse 41, "These 20 years I've been in your house, I've served you. 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock. And you've changed my wages 10 times. Unjust conditions, these unfair wages. This is how you've always been to me. You've always abused me. You've always taken advantage of me. Ever since I've known you, you have been a deceiver." And then we come to this covenant ceremony where Laban, just kind of sounds nice at first. "Well, those are my daughters." But embedded in the middle of this covenant, Laban loses the argument. So he says, "All right, what am I going to do? How about let's make a covenant?" And in the middle of the covenant, starting in verse 49, Laban threatens Jacob. "The Lord watch between you and me. When we are out of one another's sight, if you oppress my daughters, If you take wives beside my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. They set up this pile of stones, and Laban says, all right, this stone, this pile of stone right here, it's like God's eyes, and he's watching you. And if you hurt my daughters, I'm going to come after you. He's the abuser. I mean, that's why they wanted to leave and get away from their father. But Laban makes these threats. And then he rides off on the horse he came in on. Now, like, what do we do? Like, what do we do with that? That's a lot of story. And Laban's just, he's coming at Jacob from all these angles. What can I do to get a hold of him? I'm going to come at him from all these angles. And just as I said in the beginning, Scripture never shies away from the fact that we have a foe, that we have an enemy. It's unseen. And I want you to fill in the blank. I'm going to read you a sentence and then just fill in the blank. There is no way that I would ever blank. Just name this. There is no way that I would ever blank. And what would you put in the blank? You know, you might say, there is no way that I would become an ice skater. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. What, like, there is no way that I would ever abuse my children. There is no way that I would cheat on my spouse. There is no way that I would commit suicide. No way. What would you put in that blank? Substance abuse? Like, there's just no way I would do this. But there is a way. There's a way for every one of us to get to that thing that we say this morning, there's no way I would get there. There's no way. Because there is a foe that knows us all. A couple of years ago, one of our kids woke up in the middle of the night just crying and had a scary dream. So went in there and said, what's going on? And this child said, I closed my eyes and I saw two eyes looking back at me. We never escaped that sense. I was off at a doing a study leave a few months ago, and the power went out, and it was like cloudy outside, and it was dark, and I was scared that somebody was coming. I was like, oh no, someone's gonna come. No one knew. I mean, I was in the middle of nowhere. There's no scream mask gonna pop out, but I felt like, oh no, someone's gonna come and get me. Because there's this sense that somebody's watching me, and he's out to get me. And he knows the way to get us to become blank. Whatever you put in that blank. But that's not even his end game. Like, the end game is not just, oh, if I could just get him to do something really naughty, that would be great. If I could just get her to do something naughty, that would be awesome. That's not the end game. The end game is, I do not want them to trust the Lord. You know, we start morning worship every Sunday. And we say, the Lord has brought us here because he's kept us all week. That's how we started every Sunday morning. He has protected us. Here's Laban. He's chasing after Jacob. Why did Jacob need protection? Because Laban was pursuing him. How did the Lord protect Jacob? Let's look at this real quickly. In verse 29, Jacob says, or Laban says, it is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night saying, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. It's like Laban shows up and he's like, all right, Jacob, he's got his army with him. And he's like, I really want to hurt you, but God said no. And Every one of us, the only reason we haven't gone blank is because of the Lord's mercies. And the only reason I haven't denied the faith is because of His mercies. The Lord spoke to me last night and said, "Oh no." And about 4,000 years later, that's not true, about 2,500 years later, so the foe came to the Savior and said, "I'm going to tempt you." And Jesus said, "Oh no. No, you will not." And He defeated the foe. But here's what I want to think about this for just a minute. I was in a class a couple years ago, and it was a seminary class, and everyone in there was training for ministry, just about. And the professors, there's about 40 guys in there, 40 people, there's some ladies as well. And he said, "Let's just share testimonies." It was the first day of class. "I want to hear some testimonies." And so everyone shared their testimony, and there were these two, it took a long time. I can't believe we spent hours, it seems like, doing that. But it was very encouraging. There were two guys up at front, and they didn't know each other. And they shared their testimonies one after each other. And the first guy was this big guy. And he stood up and said, "I have done everything," and just named particulars. Like, addictions, check mark, got those. Lots of women, check mark, got those. You name it, I did it. And that was his testimony. And then he said, "And Jesus paid it all." And he sat down. And then this little skinny guy behind him stood up and said, he said, "I grew up in a Christian family. And I've struggled with pride. But I don't have a great testimony." That big guy turned around and said, "That's an awesome testimony. God has protected you from so much. That is awesome. I want that testimony." Now, I tell you that story to make this point. I love those two guys back to back because that is the church. That we are all in this together, and that is all of us. Your testimony might be, "I've done it all, Dave. It came out and I did the whole thing. That's my testimony." Or your testimony might be, "You know, I just was never tempted to do those things. I never had the opportunity. Maybe I was tempted, but I never had the opportunity." And the point is this, both of those are the Lord's protection. Both of those. But I've got in my notes, real quickly, I got this word warning. Red letters, bold, all capital, warning. Here's what I wrote in my notes. The Pharisee, "I thank you that I'm not like other men." That's what he said. The Pharisee said, "I thank you that I'm not like other men." And and Jesus said he went to hell because of his unrepentant pride, his hypocrisy, his racism, his verbal abuse, his consumerism, his sarcasm, his ignoring of the poor, and all the other sins that society says, "That's not a big deal. You can do those, it's fine." And he wouldn't repent of them. And the point I want to get to this morning is, like, if the Lord has said, if the Lord has taken you through the darkness, and that's your testimony, "I've done it all, check, 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 check," and He has saved you, hallelujah. If He has protected you from the darkness that is in your heart, from running out and doing all the things that you would say, "I would never do those," if He's protected you, hallelujah. But all of us need our hearts to be cleaned. If I could put it this way, we need more than just protection from the evil one. We need cleansing from an evil heart. Because our problems are not just outside of us. And here's the good news. God has not only appeared in a dream. He has appeared as a man. Here, this is the book of Hebrews. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, and he is the radiance of the glory of God. And after making purification for sins on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Purification for sins on the cross. The redemption of the Lord is protection and it is purification. And we need both because we are so weak. We have a foe. Let me end with this. How did the Lord protect Jacob? He intervened. But I love this part. The other thing he did is he outdid Laban's home. Look real quickly at verse 30. This is Laban. Laban is talking to Jacob, and he says, "You have gone away from me because you longed greatly for your father's house." I read an article just this week. It was called "The Taste of Strawberries." And the subtitle was "Tolkien's Imagination of the Good." Of course, Tolkien's the author of a number of books, most well-known, Lord of the Rings trilogy. And in that book, or in that article, what he says is that what makes Tolkien's writing so attractive is that he's able to name particular tangible things that draws us into the good. And then he gives this illustration from the Fellowship of the Ring. It's two men talking. One is, his name is Boromir, and the other's name is Aragorn. And they're in this conversation. And Boromir says, "Have you ever seen the glory of Gondor, Aragorn?" He's wanting to go home to Gondor. That's his home. "Have you ever seen the glory of Gondor? The white tower of Ecthelion, glimmering like a spike of pearl and silver, its banners caught high in the morning breeze? Have you ever been called home by the clear ringing of silver trumpets? One day our paths will lead us there, and the tower guard shall take up the call. The lords of Gondor have returned." All God's people make it home. Laban comes to Jacob and he says, "You left me because you greatly longed for your father's house." Beloved, we sang some songs today. I have no idea what it's going to be like when we're welcomed home. I have no idea. But the white towers, glimmering like a spike of pearl, banners caught high in the morning breeze, silver trumpets, a welcome home. Laban says, "You left me. You didn't stay on my crummy farm because you loved your father's house." Beloved, we are going home, and we will get there, all God's people. We will make it, and it is the protection and the purification of the Lord that will ensure it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do confess that we are weak, and that within us are all of the darknesses, and many of them we don't see, but you see them, and you have made purification to wash your people. And you are defending us. Lord, bring us home. Protect us and keep us until the day that we finally see you face to face. And we pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
This is the meal that we get on the way home. This is not the table of Covenant Presbyterian Church or of the Presbyterian Church. If you're here and that's the home you want to go to, the home of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this meal is the meal. It's Jesus' meal. And if that's whose you are and where you want to be, then we ask you to come to this table. Whether your enemy this morning tells you that you've done it all, there's no way for you to get home from where you are, or whether your enemy is puffing you up with great pride that I didn't do any of that, let me tell you what. That enemy has chased you to this table, and he has brought you to this Christ. So if you would know this Jesus and his righteousness and go home where he is, this table is for you. Won't you come? It was on the night that he was betrayed, our Savior, having given thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take it and eat it and do this in remembrance of me." And it was in the same way, having given thanks, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So all of you drink of it. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.